welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic is part three in our Revelation series of all the judgments that we see in the book of Revelation that will be taking place in the last half of the time of Jacob's trouble, a time that Jesus himself calls Great Tribulation from Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. And this is when it all happens. These are amazing judgments that we see. We see the, in part number one, we looked at the seal judgments. And then last time we looked at the trumpet judgments. And tonight we're going to be looking at the vial judgments that are taking place. And there is just so much activity happening. And you've probably started to get the clue by now that all of these judgments, there's 21 in all, and they overlap. And these judgments from start to finish will take a 3.5 year period. And it's just going to be absolutely mind-numbingly incredible. But if you're born again, you're going to miss the whole thing because the church is removed before the time of Jacob's trouble and certainly before the start of the time of the Great Tribulation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on tonight's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here so far and the ones that will be coming in. We pray for everybody, God, who is listening to this program live, who will listen to it on YouTube and in the archives and on sermon audio and every other place around the world where these Bible teachings are reposted, Lord. We just pray that the saints would be edified and would be woken up to the nearness of the time that we find ourselves in, and that lost people who will be listening to these programs, that something would be said and done that would lead a lost person, Lord, a lost soul, to put their trust and faith in you as their Savior. So we commit this time to you, Father, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody, and I don't know about you, but it's been a long week. It's been a good week. But it's been a long week, and it's been a tiring week, and just a lot of different things that needed to get done, but thank the good Lord they got done. We've started shipping out many, many orders of the NTEB Gospel Toolkits, so if you have ordered those, they are on their way to you. And the only thing that is slowing us down at this point is all the damage that's been done by the COVID-19 lockdowns to our supply chain. Sometimes we don't have enough tracks, and when we have enough tracks, we don't have enough boxes to put them in. And so it goes. And when we have enough tracks and we have enough boxes, then the post office is delivering slowly, or they're not delivering to certain areas. So we just need your patience as we process these dozens and hundreds of orders that have been coming in for the gospel toolkits and for the gospel tracts and for the free King James study Bibles. And we are so grateful to the response, for the response that we've been getting to this. But we need your patience because we're dealing with a lot of different issues on a lot of different levels. And, you know, it took me a while to see just how crazy the whole thing was. And it started with the post office not delivering to the Philippines or wanting to charge $234 to deliver a small box to South Africa, and then to have trouble getting the boxes, and then to have trouble getting the tracks. But you know what? The Lord's in charge of this whole thing. He sees this all. He knows it all. So we will work harder, and if you will be patient, I promise you, the good Lord be willing, we will get all of these orders processed and out to you. And it just makes me so happy to see these programs that we've started, the Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. And so many people, dozens and dozens and dozens of people, have written in for their free King James Ruckman Study Bible. And if you have not heard of this program and would like one, we offer a free Ruckman commentary King James Study Bible. It's a $25 Bible, and it costs about $8.40 to mail it out in the United States. But we have a program where if you can't afford that, but you need a study Bible, we will send you one completely for free. No charge on any level. And that's only made possible because you guys donate and you send me money and say, please put this towards the Free Bible and Tract Program. So if you need a King James Study Bible and you can't afford one, if you need some gospel tracts because you want to obey God and be a witness for him, but money is tight and you can't afford the gospel tracts, just send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And if you truly can't afford it, we will be thrilled to send them to you. So just give us an email and let us know. And that's all part of what the Lord has been doing here at Now the End Begins. So welcome to tonight's program. And we're very, very glad that you're here as we get started.
My sins were
I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them which had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven last plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And that is what we're talking about tonight. We are talking about the vials of God's wrath that are filled up. And Revelation 15 is the gateway to that last series of judgments from Almighty God. And remember, these judgments, the seals, the trumpets, the vials, these judgments are all literal, visible, physical, actual judgments that you can hear with your ears and see with your eyes. This isn't metaphor. These aren't types. Everything that we've been reading about for the last couple of Bible studies, they are literal, visible, physical judgments that are falling upon the earth. And when they start to fall, nobody on the face of the earth will doubt what they're seeing. They may not like it. They may not accept it. And the Bible says that by and large, they're not even going to change their ways. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And when the people who are alive during this time period are watching this stuff falling from the sky, very few of them change their ways. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. We're going to be looking at Revelation 15 and 16. And we have so much ground to cover. I hope you're in the mood for a really good Bible study tonight. I hope you have your coffee. I hope you're waking up. And I hope you're ready to go.
Thank you.
we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to be taking prayer requests, and in the last 10-15 minutes of the show, we're going to be lifting up those prayer requests to the Lord, and I have a bunch of them already, and I know that a lot of you really need to hear from the Lord, and we have people who are battling discouragement, and we have people who have homeless issues, and health issues, and financial issues, and family issues, and lost loved one issues, and we're going to be praying for that towards the end of the program in the last 10 minutes or so. I have seen God answer so many prayers for so many people lately, over the years definitely, but lately I have seen so many prayers getting answered. So tonight we are going to storm the gates of heaven, and we're going to lift up our prayer requests. And remember, last week we talked about the prayers of the saints that were lifted up to God as a wonderful incense and a sweet-smelling savor. And that's what our prayers to God are. When we pray to God, it's a sweet-smelling savor. And one day we will see exactly where those prayers were taken to. The Apostle Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, we just have to get a little farther along, and then we'll see it all.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. We'll understand it all by and by.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and ask for your blessing on tonight's Bible study upon this program, Lord, as your church, your body from all around the world are gathering together right now, Lord. And we just pray as we lift you up and we open up the pages of your preserved word in the King James Bible, we just pray, God, that you would meet with us and just give us insight from your word. Give us something new and fresh, Father. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And we also say a special prayer for anybody who's listening to this program, Lord, if they're lost, that they would want to reach out to you and let us know, that they would say something, that they would post something in the chat room, that they want to get saved. And we just thank you for the ones, Lord, that you've been leading to salvation through this Bible study. We just pray that that continues. And we commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. And really glad that you're here tonight, tuning in for this part three of all the judgments from the book of Revelation. We're going to be starting in Revelation chapter 15. But before we get started, I have a question from Peggy. She sent me an email about a comment that I had made on Genesis chapter 6. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment, and let's see if we can answer Peggy's question. And this is what she said. She said, could you please clarify your statement below? You mentioned that the Genesis 6-4 space aliens are real. And this is what I said in a comment on Facebook. I said, isn't it funny that the people who say that the UFOs from outer space are real and that encounters actually do happen have been maligned as wacko conspiracy theorists for decades, while the whole time the United Nations and the U.S. and all the governments around the world have been seeing these things with their own eyes and cataloging each event. There has been so much UFO activity that the Pentagon actually created the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force to deal with it all. Funny, but your dime store King James Bible told you 6,000 years ago that space aliens were real. Nice to see that the Pentagon is finally catching up. So, Peggy has a great question tonight, and I don't know if she's listening. She had sent me that through email about an hour ago. I hope she's listening. But she was commenting on a story that we did a story that we did yesterday that the Pentagon has created, and this was a number of years ago, this isn't a brand new thing, but we were commenting on the fact that the Pentagon has created something that they call the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And they first started that back in 2007. And the reason why the United States Pentagon started this task force was because as they began to upgrade the equipment of the pilots in the Navy and the Air Force, the pilots began to see space aliens. They began to see objects that they could not catch. They began to see unidentified spacecraft, aircraft. I don't know what you would call these things. But the United States Navy pilots began to see things that they could not explain. And not only not explain, they began to see things that the fastest jets in the U.S. military couldn't even come close to catching up with what the pilots were seeing with their own eyes. And they recorded it. And if you've been following Now the End Begins, we have reported on this time and time again. But it's a very real thing. So the government said, now this is not conspiracy theory, the government said that they have found objects and vehicles that they have concluded were not made anywhere on this earth. And when you take that and add to that what the pilots have been seeing and witnessing and chasing and not catching, I think we can safely conclude that we are being visited by, let's not use the word aliens, we are being visited by entities from another planet. Now, this is not anything that the King James Bible did not already anticipate. Okay? In Matthew chapter 24, talking about the days of Noah, Matthew 24, 37, Jesus says, starting in verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 6, and let's read the first four verses of Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they had chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, turn to Jude chapter 1. Turn to Jude chapter 1, and let's put the cherry on top of this end time Sunday. Jude chapter 1, and let's take a look here where it talks about the fallen angels. And in Jude chapter 1, starting in verse 5, Jude 1 verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. And the angels, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, Peggy's question was, are we going to see aliens coming from outer space to our planet? And the answer is yes. And they have already started, Peggy. And these are not little green men or little gray men or little white men or little black men. These are not aliens the way that Hollywood portrays them in E.T. and whatever else you have. These aliens are entities. They are fallen angels. They are Nephilim. And they, when Genesis chapter 6 talks about the days of Noah, the flood came because of the byproduct of the fallen angels, which were the giants. And Jesus said that the end times, the time of Jacob's trouble, is going to be like the days of Noah. Well, the days of Noah, you had giants that were born to the children of fallen angels. Now, people say, how is that possible that an angel could have sex with a human woman? Because angels are men. They look just like men, but only they are supernatural men. Every single appearance of an angel in the Bible is always a man. Every single time. We don't ever see that they have wings. Again, it is not how they're portrayed in Hollywood, but when you read the Bible, you see very, very, very clearly that angels in the Bible are men, and they don't have wings, and they have the ability to cohabitate with women. Now, Estevic says, where are these Nephilim now? Well, that is the subject for a whole nother show. And we have talked about that before. We will talk about that again. So I don't know where they've been. All I know is that Jesus said that in the time of the end, they're going to come back. And as you can see, even the U.S. government has been forced to admit that we are being visited by entities from outside of our planet. Now, let's finish this up in Revelation 19, because we got to go to the book of Revelation anyway. Turn to Revelation 19, and I want to show you the greatest alien visit in the entire Bible. And it's in Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And this is going to be the greatest alien visitation that the earth has ever witnessed. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Yeah. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, when we look at those passages that I just read to you, starting in Revelation 19, 11, we shout and we praise and we rejoice because we know what that is. But I want you to look at that from the perspective of lost, unsaved people on the earth who have foolishly decided to trust and follow Antichrist. Can you imagine Revelation 19, 11, and I saw heaven opened. What is that going to look like down on the earth to unsaved people who have no idea who God is, and they have just spent 7 years following Satan, and they are in his army, and they look up, and they see Jesus as the King of Kings, and he is leading the battle charge with millions of us on white horses coming down from the sky. Can you imagine how that would blow people's minds? June just said that's going to be insane. Well, it's not insane to us because we know what it is, but it's definitely going to be insane to lost people down on the earth, and they look up. Can you imagine that you're walking down the street with your husband or your wife or your children or your friend, and you look up into the sky and you see the sky opening and millions of white horses charging down. Can you imagine what that would look like to unsaved people? Well, that is the greatest visitation by aliens that the Bible talks about, but that is how it's going to go. And the entities that are visiting us now, with the spaceships that our fastest jets can't even catch. It's all part and parcel of exactly the same thing. Now, you might say to me, but we're not in the time of Jacob's trouble. That's okay. We're overlapping. We are preparing to leave, and Antichrist is preparing to come onto the scene, and we are right in the middle of the end of one dispensation and the start of another one. And that's exactly where we are on the timeline. And so, to answer Peggy's question, do I believe that aliens are coming down from the sky? Absolutely I do, but I know who they are. And if you have a King James Bible in it, and if you're born again, you know who they are too. They're the same entities from Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And how do I know that for a fact? Because Jesus says in Matthew 24:37 that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like the days of Noah. Now, it also says, if you go to the corresponding chapter in the book of Luke, Luke 17:26, what does Luke have to say? Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Noah, and you're going to see the Genesis 6 giants coming back. You're going to see what the unsaved world calls an alien visitation, and they have already started. Absolutely no conspiracy theory here. You can mark it down. The visitations by these entities have already begun, and it's being cataloged. And when the government speaks, they're kind of like a doctor. From the perspective that if your doctor gives you a little bit of bad news, he probably has a lot of bad news, and he's giving it to you slowly. And the government is in much the same way. For the last 50 years, our government has denied that, they have said there are no aliens from outer space, there are no spacecraft, none of that is happening, and here we are in the 21st century, and they had to create the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force Program. That's how many visitations that we're having. And why are we having these visits? Because the world that we're going to leave behind, this is what they're going to be dealing with. Not us, them. But we are starting to see a little bit of a taste of it. And if you look at any change in dispensations, like the change in Acts chapter 7 going into Acts chapter 8, the people who lived in that time period, they didn't know that the dispensation had changed. Peter did not know right away that the kingdom age was put on hold and the church age had begun. And when Saul became Paul, that took many years for everybody to get up to speed. And they only got up to speed when Paul showed up and said, hey, I've been out on the backside of the Damascus wilderness for the last 3.5 years, and I've had Jesus and the Holy Spirit teaching me new Bible, and I'm here to tell you and reveal these mysteries to you. And without that, Peter, James, and John would have had no idea that anything had changed, but everything had changed. So when you switch from one dispensation to the next, and there's not that many of them. There's only 6 or 7 dispensations in human history. But when you go from the end of one to the beginning of the other, there is not a clear-cut mark while it's happening. Now, when we look back and with the benefit of hindsight, we can pinpoint to the exact chapter in the Bible when the kingdom age was put on hold and the church age began. And we see that to be clearly the end of Acts chapter 7. But for the people who were living it in real time, they had no idea what was happening. So I hope, Peggy, I hope that you were listening, and I hope that answered your question. But yes, we need to get our head out of the sand and understand that we are being visited by people from outer space. Jesus Christ is somebody from outer space. Have you ever stopped to think about that? If any person or entity, whatever you want to call them, if they came to visit us from a place that was not Earth, they would be coming from outer space. When Jesus returns with us at the second coming, we are going to be visiting this planet from outer space. And one of the things that Satan has used Hollywood so effectively to do is to get people hopelessly confused about space aliens and to hide the fact that the King James Bible talks about this in great and graphic detail. But the unsaved world doesn't want the King James Bible, and they don't want this revelation from God. So what do people choose to believe? They choose to believe about the little green men from Mars and the grays and the whites and all the other interesting, fascinating, untrue distortions of what God clearly shows to be visitation. When Abraham and Sarah were visited by the pre-incarnate Jesus and two angels, when Daniel was visited by Gabriel, the same angel who visited Mary, those were visitations from outer space. Where do you think heaven is? Heaven's not here in this earth. Heaven is in outer space. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28 that God lives on the sides of the north, and that's where his throne is. And that's why Satan said, he said, I will ascend up to the sides of the north and I will have your throne. Satan knew where it was. It's up and it's out of our solar system. So I think we need to get started with tonight's program, but I hope that answered your question, Peggy, about aliens from outer space. They are real. They are here, and the Bible has already prepared us for this. The Bible has already warned us that they were coming. And aren't you glad that if you're saved today, aren't you glad that you get to get out of here before it gets too bad, before things get too tough, before the devil himself walks onto the scene? I don't know about you, but I am very glad that we get out of here before that time. And with that, let's get started with tonight's topic. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. Now, a lot has been going on in the Bible. A lot has been happening since we left off on Wednesday night. And when we saw the seals and the trumpet judgments, and we saw all the damage that they were doing to the earth, and the green grass and the water became like wormwood. And then we saw in Revelation chapter 9, we saw that the locusts were let out of the bottomless pit and they stung like a scorpion. And then in Revelation chapter 10, John is talking with the angel. Revelation 10, verses 8 through 11. Turn to Revelation 10, 8 through 11. Well, actually, no. Let's read all of Revelation chapter 10. And there is a lot of ground to cover from where we left off with the trumpets. Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, Revelation 10:6, a lot of people have puzzled and puzzled. What does that mean? That there should be time no longer. Basically, what's happening here in Revelation 10:6, time is up. It is time to get started. Verse 7, but as in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, the Bible, and this was one of the things that years ago really threw me for a loop. In the Bible, it talks about God performing his strange act. And Isaiah, I mean, we constantly are referring to Isaiah 28. There is so much prophetical activity happening, not just in the book of Isaiah, but specifically in chapter 28. Verse 21, for the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange act, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, what do you think that the Bible might be talking about in Isaiah 28? His strange act. What is God's strange act? Well, when you get back to Revelation chapter 10 and you see verse 7 where it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. All through the Bible, God has made available to anybody who cared to know, God has always made available what he was working on, what he was up to, and what was likely coming in the future. And since the beginning of time, think about it, when he had Noah and his family to build that boat, Genesis says that Noah and his family built that boat, and it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So they built and preached for 120 years. And when that rain finally came, and the only human beings that made it into the boat were Noah, his wife, his three kids, and their wives, that's after 120 years of Noah preaching and warning and begging anybody who wanted to get into the boat to escape the coming wrath and judgment. So, all the way back to the book of Genesis, God has always made it clear and has always made it plain. The unsaved world looks at everything like a mystery. Before I got saved, I used to be fascinated by the mystery religions like Freemasonry and the Rosicrucians and all those things that Dan Brown made millions of dollars writing about in his novels. But the Bible is the greatest mystery book of all time, because what the Bible will reveal to you is not a novel. It's real and it's actual and you can trust it. Now we have to take a quick break, but there we have set the table. We have set the table. And when we come back, we are going to be looking at the vile judgments. So stay with us. We are just getting started. Two of Rightly Dividing, and tonight's topic is we're looking at the vile judgments from the book of Revelation. And in the first half an hour, we talked about the Genesis 6 giants, and I answered a couple of your questions. But if you are interested, we did a program back in February on Genesis 6 giants and the rapture. And I just put the link into the chat room, and you can bookmark that. And when you have time, you can listen to that radio program from back in February, where we talked about the Genesis 6 giants and the rapture. And a lot of your questions will be answered in that program. So let's get on with the topic at hand tonight. When we last left off in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake with me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And this is a lot like what Jesus told Saul on that day on the Damascus Road, that he was going to be sent before the Gentiles, and he was to open their eyes and lead them from darkness unto light, and he was to testify before kings. That's what Paul tells Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, I believe. So here, John takes the little book out of the angel's hand, and he eats it, and in its mouth, very sweet, just like honey, but when he swallows it, it is bitter. And so it is with the Bible, and so it is with God's Word. There is a sweet quality to God's Word. There are sweet and precious promises that God makes, but there is bitter. Every single one of the apostles, except for John, were executed by the Roman government. Jesus told Peter, before he even really gets started, he said, you are young and you can go where you, I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus told Peter, now you are young and you can go wherever you want to go, but when you're old, they're going to bind you and they're going to take you to where you don't want to go. And so that there is a sweetness to God's word and there is a sweetness to the ministry, but there is a bitter aspect as well. And that's exactly what John found when he was told to eat the little book of prophecy. And from that point on, things begin to heat up very, very intently. And then, of course, we're going to have the two witnesses, and we're going to have Revelation 13 with the mark of the beast and all that stuff. And that brings us to Revelation chapter 15. It's a short chapter. We'll read the whole thing. Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, Revelation 15, 1 through 4, talks about a group of people, a very specific group of people. In verse 2, it says, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Keep your finger in 15, because we're going to be coming right back. But turn to Revelation chapter 20. And this gives us a more detailed look at the people that we're looking at in Revelation 15. Revelation 20 in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received. This is exactly what 15:4 was saying. Neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, these are the people who in Revelation chapter 6 were the souls under the altar. These are the tribulation saints. These are the ones that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, and this is where the people who refuse to rightly divide and they get so confused. But this is Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13 matches exactly with Revelation chapter 20, and it matches exactly with Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 4, where it talks about a specific group of people that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and the number of his name. These are the tribulation saints. Angel has a question. Did Revelation 12 happen on September 23rd, 2017 in the heavens according to star patterns? The answer is no. Nothing happened on September 23rd. That was just another... It's like those blood moons, and these people write books. And let me see if I can find this article. I wrote about this. I am almost positive that I wrote about this. And I did. I wrote about this in 2017, and I called it False Prophecy Alert, the so-called Great Sign. That's happening on September 23rd is 100% not true. And I'm going to put the link into the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can just go to the search box and type in September 23 and this article will pop right up for you. But nothing happened because Revelation chapter 12 is Israel fleeing to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra as they are being pursued by the dragon. And that did not happen in 2017. And that's not going to happen in September of 2020. That's not going to happen until after the rapture of the church. So, Angel, please read that article when you have time. And that's what I wrote back on September 18th of 2017. So, Revelation chapter 15, it opens up with the tribulation saints, and it's talking about the victory that they have gotten for themselves, and they have endured unto the end. Now, what did that mean? They were beheaded. Revelation chapter 20. They were beheaded. So, if you're one of those people and you want to go through the time of the tribulation because you want to pay back Jesus, that's what's waiting for you. That's what's waiting. And if you think that you're going to be a tribulation saint and it's going to be like it was in those Tim LaHaye novels, no, it's not going to be like that at all. In reality, if you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble and you endure to the end is a guillotine where you get your head cut off because you refuse to worship Antichrist. So that is what these people in Revelation 15 are being praised for. And of course, they have a new song. Wouldn't you have a new song? If you endured unto the end and you faced down Antichrist and you told him to take his mark of the beast and stick it where the sun don't shine, and then he cut your head off and you open up your eyes and you're in heaven, wouldn't you have a new song? I think you would be thrilled. Maybe not thrilled at how you got there, but you would definitely be thrilled at where you found yourself when you opened your eyes after your untimely death at the hands of Antichrist. Revelation 15, verse 5. After that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And here they come. And the seven angels come out of the temple having the seven plagues. Have you ever wondered about this? There's seven trumpets. There's seven seals. There's seven angels. There's seven plagues. There's seven golden vials. Do you think God's trying to tell us something here? I think he is. And when we see the number seven, it has to do with the great completeness of God's plan. And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All right, turn the page, and we're going to look at the seven plagues and the seven vials of the seven angels. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And when the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So, vial number one, everybody who has received the mark of the beast is going to receive a noisome and grievous sore. Now, Revelation chapter 13 tells us where those marks are going to be planted. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, not human kind, not the world population. It is the number of a specific man, Antichrist, and his number is 666. So park it right there for a moment. All of this talk of since March 23rd, and all of this hullabaloo, for lack of a better word, about Bill Gates and his vaccine and his immunity passport and his digital identification. Do you remember? We did so many stories, you've probably forgot most of them, but crazy, crazy things happening. We did a story called Shock as It's Revealed an Enzyme called Luciferase is what makes Bill Gates' implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccine delivery system work. Remember that story? The Luciferase, the glowing red X that lights up so that the scientist can read the vaccine that's been implanted in the back of your right hand. Do you think that's a coincidence? Well, that's something that Bill Gates has been working on. And do you remember when we did the article on Microsoft not only funds ID 2020, but they have also filed a patent with the U.S. Patent Office? Remember this story? They filed a patent for an implantable device. It's going to go inside the human body, and its function is to buy and sell cryptocurrency. Now, are you starting to see a little bit of a pattern here? Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's going on? Do you think it's an accident? Do you think it's a coincidence that the whole world has been on lockdown and the whole world has been exposed to a virus and the whole world has to now take a vaccine and the whole world is going to receive an implantable device? Well, that's exactly what they've been working on. And that's why millions and millions of people have been coming to Now the End Begins over the last 4 to 5. I mean, we get a lot of people most all the time, but since the middle of March, it's been crazy. The number of people that have been coming to nowtheendbegins.com because they want to know what the truth is, and they know they're going to get the truth. They're going to get the truth from the King James Bible. Remember when I did this story back in April? Warning, I can no longer say that Bill Gates planned global vaccinations and the ID 2020 digital identification are not the mark of the beast. And you can read that story when you have the time. Back to Revelation chapter 16. So the very first golden vial that is poured by one of the angels, the first angel, it is a judgment on the mark of the beast. And it is a judgment on every single human who has been left behind after the rapture of the church, who decided to follow Antichrist, and they desired the ability to buy and sell more than they desired spending eternity with God in heaven. So just like Jacob's brother Esau, who sold his birthright because he was hungry. He sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. Now, that's a great part of the Bible to get inspiration for good preaching, but that's exactly what Esau did. He literally sold his birthright, literally, for a meal. And the people who take the mark of the beast because they don't want to be locked out of the world system, because they need to feed their bellies so badly that they are willing to take the mark of the beast and get a meal. And then in Revelation 16:2, God judges that. And that first angel pours out his vial, and every single human being that received the mark of the beast, that mark begins to putrefy. That mark begins. Have you ever had an infection under your skin? And sometimes years ago, about 15 years ago, I had cut my finger underneath my nail, and then I had gotten some bacteria or something in there, and it really got infected very, very badly. Had to go to the doctor multiple times to get that taken care of. But in Revelation 16:2, God is giving a specific, putrefying, disgusting, painful judgment on everybody who took the mark of the beast. And remember, some people are going to take the mark of the beast in the back of their right hand. That's a bad place to have a sore. But can you imagine if you were one of those people that took it in your forehead, between your eyes, and you get that grievous sore in your forehead? Oh, man, that's terrible. But that's what the first vial is. It is a judgment on the mark of the beast. Revelation 16:3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Anything that has a soul in the entire ocean, any ocean, and that covers 75% of our entire planet, this second angel pours out his vial, and the ocean, and you see how vital it is that we have the ocean, and now the ocean is taken away from us, and the whole thing is turned into blood, and every living thing inside that the ocean, the sea, it dies. Revelation 16:4, and the third angel poured out his vials upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So, what are we seeing here? It is a judgment of blood on the oceans and the seas. That's where we have shipping and commerce. That's where we get fish from to eat, right? What was, when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and Peter got discouraged, and he took a whole bunch of the apostles, and he says, that's it, I quit, I go a fishing. And when they were out there, and they weren't catching anything, and that man from the shore told them where to let down their nets, and they figured out it was the Lord, what was the Lord doing for them at that moment? He was making them something to eat, and he was making them fish, is what he was making. So, here we have God's judgment on the oceans, and now we have God's judgment on the drinking water. Revelation 16:4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. So here you have the angels being told by God to destroy all the water on the face of the earth, all the salt water, all the fresh water. And then as the angels are destroying the water, they are pointing back towards God and they're saying, exactly right, Lord. This is what you should be doing. And we agree with this 100%. This is exactly what Angel says. Are the vials like the plagues of Egypt? Yes, they are very, very much like the plagues that Moses and Aaron brought to Egypt when God told them to go and deal with Pharaoh. These plagues are worldwide. They are not just happening in the Middle East. They are not just happening in the Mediterranean. They are happening on all of the oceans and all of the seas and all of the rivers and all of the fountains of waters, anywhere on the face of the earth. And then Revelation 16:6, this is why the angel says that God was righteous for doing this. Revelation 16:6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now think about that. Think about that. God is avenging. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at Revelation chapter 6? Keep your finger in Revelation 16 and turn back to Revelation chapter 6. And remember when we talked about the fifth seal being opened in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11? Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes was given every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So in Revelation 6:10, the souls under the altar, the tribulation saints who were beheaded for their testimony, for enduring unto the end, they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Back to Revelation 16. Here you have it. The thing that the souls under the altar were crying for in Revelation 6 is fulfilled in Revelation 16:6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So, if you're taking notes, mark that down. That is where God began to avenge the shed blood of the tribulation saints on those that dwell on the earth. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Do you know how disgusting that would be to have to drink blood? Well, God said that's what you wanted. Well, you wanted blood, I'll give you all the blood you can stand. And in Revelation 16, God begins to judge and avenge the tribulation saints from Revelation chapter 6. And with that, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just about 3 minutes. Don't go away.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day
And we are back for the last half hour of tonight's program. We had a question in the chat room from Satman. He's asking, are you saying that not one single Gentile, even if he joins the packs of the Jews that are protected by the 144,000 virgin Jews? Not really quite sure what that question is, but will there be Gentiles who are part of the tribulation saints? Absolutely, there will be. No doubt about it. There will be Gentile tribulation saints. But you have to remember that it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The Jewish people are going to be the main and primary focus. Turn to Acts chapter 28. Turn to the very last chapter of the book of Acts. And let's see one of the last recorded statements by the Apostle Paul. And he is, let's start reading in verse 23, Acts 28, 23. And when they had appointed him, Paul, a day, there came many to him in his lodging to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, now he's talking to his fellow Jewish people. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, for their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So, in the church age, you have had primarily Gentiles, but some Jews that make up the body of Christ. It is mostly Gentile, but not completely Gentile. There is a smattering of saved Jewish people who are born-again Christians, like Dr. Bob Lieb. He's Jewish. He got saved about 40 years ago, and now he's part of the body of Christ. But it is primarily a Gentile body. In the time of Jacob's trouble, you are going to have primarily Jewish people becoming tribulation saints, but there will be some Gentiles, so it's going to be flipped. The church age was mostly Gentile with some Jews, and the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation saints are going to be mostly Jews with a little bit of Gentiles thrown in. So Watchman 35 said, I am part of that smattering, and praise God. It's great to be part of that smattering. And Satman says, thank you for that, but it was clear that I was addressing live human Gentiles making it to the millennial kingdom. Yes, there will be Gentiles who will make it to the millennial kingdom. And that's what we're going to see. So let's go on and let's see if we can conclude these vials. We left off in Revelation 16:6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And this is how God avenges the blood of the souls under the altar, from Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 of Revelation 16. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel, so here we are, four vials now. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So isn't this amazing? We are already in Revelation chapter 16, and God is still willing, if any of these men would repent, God is willing to forgive. God is willing to deal with them, but they won't. They can't. And why? Because they have taken the mark of the beast, and there is no coming back from the mark of the beast. And I know that is very popular. People talk about people who don't rightly divide, people like John MacArthur. And I'm not picking on John MacArthur, but he has a very, very bad, wrong, dangerous teaching. He teaches that the church will be in the time of Jacob's trouble. That's error number one. But errors number two and three is he says that if you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble and you take the mark of the beast, then all you have to do, John MacArthur says, is just sincerely ask God for forgiveness and he will forgive you. And the answer to that is no, he won't. God will not forgive the mark of the beast. And I've already given you the verses. We won't go over that again. But God will not forgive if you take the mark of the beast. So don't take it. If you're listening to this program, if somehow this program has survived the rapture and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble and the start of the time of the great tribulation, if you're somehow listening to my voice, don't take the mark of the beast, because you'll never come back from it. You'll never repent from it. And there is no forgiveness of it. Don't take it. Revelation 16:10. Revelation 16:10. We're on the fifth vial. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So do you see this pattern that's happening here now? These seven angels are, they are pouring out the seven last judgments, and it's the home stretch, and God is turning up the heat, literally. And we see darkness, and we see scorching heat, and God is giving them space and a place to repent, but it says they won't repent, and they won't repent because they can't repent because they've taken the mark of the beast. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, do you see where this, when we rightly divide and we see on the timeline where we are a kitten's whisker away from the battle of Armageddon at the second coming. And it is here that Jesus says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is not the rapture of the church. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And then just to seal the deal, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided. This is the great city is Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And this is the earthquake that we see in Zechariah. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God. This is the Roman Catholic Church, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, about 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, it's funny that Revelation 16 of the seven vials is closing with the plague of the hail. Turn to Job chapter 38. Turn to Job chapter 38. And let's look at verses 22 and 23. Job 38, 22 and 23. Has thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? I bet you didn't know that Job 38 has a direct connection to Revelation chapter 16. So when God is telling Job in Job 38 verses 22 and 23, and he's asking Job, have you seen the treasures of the hail? And he tells Job, I have reserved hail for the time of trouble, for the time of battle, and for the time of war. And when you get to Revelation 16, what did we read? The seven vials close with, and there fell upon man a great hail, the same hail from Job 38. A great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. So, all through the Bible, God, remember we talked in Revelation 15 about the mystery of God should be finished? Most people don't know that the entire book of the book of Job, which is 42 chapters long, represents the Jewish people in the Great Tribulation. 42 months is 3.5 years. The book of Job is 42 chapters long. The book of Job tells you that God has reserved hail against the day of judgment, and Revelation 16 shows you exactly when God is going to be using that hail against the day of war, against the day of battle. You see how everything fits together, and it fits together beautifully and plainly and clearly. Do you see how Revelation is really not that mysterious of a book? Do you see how we're able, by the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, that we can connect Job, which is chronologically the first book of the Bible that was ever written? Job is the oldest written book of the Bible that there is. The book of Job was written before Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Job is the first book of the Bible, and it tells you all about the struggles of Job, but it is a type picture, and it is a prophecy of the Jewish people in the time of Jacob's trouble, specifically in the time of the Great Tribulation. So there we see the seven vials from the seven angels who have the seven last plagues. Now, when we look at the seal judgments, when we look at the trumpet judgments, and when we look at the vial judgments, if we were to lay them all out on a piece of paper, we would see that they are very, very similar to each other. And they are all firing in harmony and in concert with each other. Now, I've never done an exhaustive connect the dots with all of them. And as soon as I have time, I will definitely, Lord willing, try and do that. You can clearly see that all these judgments are overlapping with each other. And the tribulation is going to be an incredibly crazy, scary, bad time. Now, if you're not saved and you want to know how you can avoid all that, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. If that's you, why don't you call upon the name of the Lord right now and ask him to save your soul? And the Bible says that he will. He absolutely will. And with that, it is time for us to go into our prayer time. And I have made a list of all the prayers tonight. And if I miss one, please post it into the chat room so that we can all pray together for all these prayer requests. But boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So let's just take a few minutes now and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to hear us and ask him to grant the petitions of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you to hear our prayers now. And we need to hear from you, God. The hour is late, and we're tired, Lord. We're tired physically. We're tired mentally. We're tired spiritually. But we need to hear from you, Father God. Juanita says that she has an unspoken prayer request, and we ask, God, that you would hear the unspoken prayer of Juanita's heart. And for all of us, tonight who have unspoken prayer requests, we just pray, Father God, that you would hear those prayers, those silent prayers of our hearts, and you would meet with us there, and you would answer those prayers. Lord, Lulu has eye surgery on Wednesday. Please help her, help the doctors, help the nurses, and let that surgery, whatever type of surgery that it happens to be, let it go good, let it go well. Watchman 35 says, 4 months unemployed. Please pray for God's provision. And Lord, we ask you to do something there for Watchman and for everybody who's part of the NTEB family, Lord, who needs work, who needs a job. We ask, Father God, that you intercede and that you rule and overrule and give work, Lord, where it's needed for Watchman 35 and for everybody who needs a job, Lord. Lassie says, my friend Shakra and her daughter Alex need prayers from the demons coming after them getting bad. And this is a prayer request that I hear quite often. And people have nightmares and people talk about demons. And some of it is our imaginations and some of it could be from things we ate, things we drank, getting too much sleep, not getting enough sleep. I believe that a lot of it is real. And I pray, Father God, for people like Sharka and Alex and for Lori. And for everybody who is struggling with bad dreams and with nightmares and things of that nature, please, Father God, just keep those things at bay and set a hedge of protection about our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies and just keep us safe, Lord. David says that Connie is praying for a job, and a lot of people need work. Trish says, praying for those in needs of job here. And Lord, we just lift up Trish in a special way before you tonight, Lord. And she has such a good heart for you, and she wants to do your will, Lord. And she's out in California, and she needs a blessing, and she needs to you to help her, Lord. Send your people, Father God, to where Trish is in California, and take care of her needs, and don't let her get discouraged. And please help our sister Trish, Lord. B says, I pray for the healing of cancer in my family and a beloved elder at church. Also that the seeds of truth would grow into my family, into a true faith in Jesus Christ. Patty Ann has a similar prayer, praying for our lost family members and that we would be bolder in sharing the good news of the gospel. Estevic says, we're always praying for boldness in the doors of utterance. June is asking for prayer for his unsaved families and friends. We want to lift up our friend Scott, whose wife Jill went home a few weeks ago. And Scott is dealing with the pain and loneliness of all those years, almost 30 years with the same woman. And God took her home last month. And so please, Lord, comfort Scott and be with him. We pray for Lynn, who is dealing with Lyme disease, and she needs a healing. And we pray, Lord, that you would heal Lynn. And David says, I have a prior student of mine named Erica, who has been told that she has stage 3 breast cancer. Please pray for her. And so we see that there's so many prayers for healing and so many prayers for salvation. Jeanette says, please pray for my unsaved family. Guest named S in the prayer room, my lost friend Andrew, also my lost family. Athena says, please pray over my best friend's son Joel. She's trying to get him to turn his life over to Christ. Please pray for Rita. Lori from Pennsylvania is asking prayers for Rita, who is in an induced medical coma and on a ventilator with COVID-19, and her son Zachary is making medical decisions on her behalf, and Lori's sister Becky is being treated with chemo for ovarian cancer. And man, oh man, do we have a huge roster of prayers tonight. But guess what? We serve a God who says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show ye great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I believe that. And I believe God is going to answer every one of these prayers that we're praying tonight. Prayers for homes and for healing and for salvation and for recovery and for restoration and for jobs and for food on the table. And for all of these prayers, Father God, we ask you to hear them and to answer them according to your will for each and every one of us in your time, according to your purpose. And God, we thank you in advance. And we thank you and praise you, Father God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm just looking at all these prayer requests, and man, oh man, is that a lot of things to pray for. But you know what? That is why God has gathered us together. And, you know, we talk about the tribulation force from the Left Behind novels. Well, we are not going to be in the tribulation. We are part of the rapture. But man, oh man, when you look at the Now the End Begins family of believers, we are an incredible force for prayer and for getting things done. And I really hope that every single one of us will remember as much as we can to pray for our brothers and sisters that we meet with on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays through the chat room and through the radio programs. Remember your brothers and sisters and be a blessing where you can be. And for all of you who need to hear from God, hang in there. God is listening, and God will absolutely answer according to his time. And that's about, speaking of time, time has gone. And have a great night, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, Monday, noon Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Have a good night, get good rest, get good sleep, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Good night, everybody.